didn't at that time weren't all that busy, although Montpelier came on later on and used a lot of needed a lot of people out there for office type work. But also what happened in Moortown, the mills, we moved the mills to Waterbury. And other than the little clapboard mill, which is still there. So it just grew out of being a lumber town and became a service-oriented town, or people working in service jobs and people working for the state. There were many changes that were good. I'm sure the school system got quite a lot better, because when I went to school, it wasn't a one-room school, but it was a two-room school, four grades in a room. And then it got so that my children were able to have a lot broader, a lot more teachers. I haven't really mentioned any tremendous changes, but when I think of it, a lawyer or a doctor in the valley, true, there used to be one doctor, Dr. Shaw, years and years ago, I'm sure you've heard about. And after he passed away, there was no doctor until Dr. Quimby came in. There was no doctor for quite some time, I believe. And there was one lawyer in the valley in Waitsfield. And was unheard of to have places to stay. Oh, there were a couple of places you could stay, maybe, but farmhouses, but there were no really serious places to stay, to say nothing of hotels or restaurants or any of that. That just didn't exist. So that I really don't recall big changes, but there have been tremendous changes, of course. I just sort of grew with them, maybe. Didn't see them as they were happening. And I have sort of always kept in the lumber business a little, so my career didn't change as much as some people, I guess.
It seemed to go from a lumber farm economy as being the main thing, and then with the skiing, and then other businesses began to come in, like Mad River Canoe or Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. Sort of new industries developing in the valley, and we interviewed Bob Stiller, and one of the things he said, which I have been thinking about contrasting with Eleanor when I talk with her, but he was saying, you know, it was hard to grow a business in the valley.
Well, I couldn't agree with him more. That although Mad River Canoe has certainly been a pretty expanding business. I mean, I don't know how they've done in the last few years, but they're one of very few, other than this actual ski areas themselves, which started from nothing but mountain land and became ski areas, and the telephone company, being a service business, sort of followed along, and they were a very growing business. But they were taking care; they had to take care of the people. I see that would be a very, very difficult thing. I mean, I've seen so many businesses come and try to get started and maybe go for a while, and then in some cases they've moved away, like Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. And some of the professional people have moved away that were in the valley and have found that they needed to be maybe in Burlington or Montpelier. Because the valley now is very, very tourist-oriented. And it's a funny thing, some of the old original businesses have kept going. I mean, some of the lumbering has kept going, and like even Andy Baird's mill there, I mean, there's a one or two man operation, and it's still going. In spite of all the businesses that have come and gone, it still operates there. Of course, maybe it's the nature of the business. Of course, Warren used to have Bowen Hunter, the bobbin mill. And the bobbin industry is sort of an industry that became obsolete. I mean, it just was a wonderful product, but wooden bobbins and spools and bobbins were replaced. So that particular business, you know, that the business is there now called Dirt Road, but it's true that it's hard to think of any business that has greatly expanded or become in the valley. Howard Bernal started a place called Bernal Lumber Company in Duxbury, going over the hill to Waterbury. And unfortunately, he passed away. His funeral's tomorrow. So he was a lumber business, though. He was a sawmill and pretty successful. Did a nice job. So once again, there's one of the old basic industries that was doing quite well.
What do you make of this aquifer person, or the woman that has all this water on her leg?
Virginia Houston, yeah. Well, I'm sure that the water business has been a real growth industry countrywide. It's hard to believe, very hard for me to believe, and probably you too. Too many years ago that we would have said, sure, we're going and pay $1 for a gallon of water or 60 cents or whatever it is at the Grand Union. But it's definitely a business here to stay. And my own thoughts on that, of course, probably being an old Vermonter, is that really I think she should be able to get her water out. She was fortunate. She found water. That's old Ward Lumber Company land, a lot of it. And she should be, you know, it's no different than if you happen to have oil on your land. I guess you have a right to the mineral rights. So I don't have any problem with her taking the water and out. And I guess maybe that's not the big problem. The big problem is how the water's going to get from her farm or the old Austin farm down to someplace. I think it's more of a trucking problem. Of course, I guess I'm sympathetic to the trucking problem, because for years and years we have had to truck logs and things over the back roads, and not so much now, but somebody has to. And I'm sympathetic to that because that's the only way they can be gotten out and gotten to market. Most of the timberland all pays taxes. A lot of the taxes are paid by the owners of that land, and that's really all they're really asking for is use of the roads. So, sure, I don't have any problem with that at all. As I say, it doesn't happen to be where the trucks would be going by my house, but as you've already seen, we live here, and the milk trucks that go by this house in the morning, there's quite a few of them. So, it's definitely getting increasingly hard, and the lumber business is getting more difficult all the time to do, because more and more people are interested in what happens to the forests. I'm very interested in what happens to them also, as I was brought up to be. I mean, if they're taken care of right, then they'll always be there. But it does make a problem when everybody gets into the act of what should happen to the, how this should be done, because they may not realize all the various problems and things that you can do with them. So, as I mentioned, that's going on right now with the over in the valley, which you are aware of, I guess. And I realize that's not part of this interview, maybe, but
you mean
the land sale that just happened with from Old Ward Lumber Company land, the 11,000 acre sale that took place, and
tell me a little about that.
I don't know. It just happens that it is the land that was sold in 1968 by Ward Lumber Company, and some of the land. At that time, we sold about 27 or so thousand acres to a New York firm who has been managing it and logging it, selectively logging it over the past 25 years. And they've slowly sold some of it too, but much of it is mountain land, and it's not development land. It's not feasible to develop it. But that was just purchased by a man or a group, and they're going to log it. A Canadian company is going to lumber it maybe a little less selectively and log it a little harder. And many people, of course, have been concerned that they're going to come in and they're going to clear cut the land, which in most cases isn't true. And if they'd read, there are diameter limits that they're cutting to. And it is true there maybe are some places where the plantations that my grandfather planted, it's conceivable in some of those they could be cut, well, pretty much all cut. But they're supposedly leaving a buffer zone of 100 feet from the roads. But that's a small part of the 11,000 acre sale that this was. And the other land, I believe the diameter limit on the deciduous timber is 12 inches, 12 inch diameter on the stump. So that is pretty big restriction, that in itself. I mean, not that I would recommend to cut it that way completely, but it is a restriction. So, actually, I was up on Ward Hill. They're cutting on Ward Hill right now. They just started on Ward Hill. I was up around that little loop of Ward Hill and Dowsville and down by Harwood today just to see. I heard they were up and they're just getting started cutting up in some of the plantations. So that is going, that is happening.
You must know that land like the back of
your hand. Oh, much of that land, my grandfather used to have two or three farms. His true love also was forestry and farming, but he was a gentleman farmer. He didn't really have to, lucky for him. He did at one time when he was a younger man, but when I remember him, he wasn't out there milking cows, but he was always around the farms, and he kept his great herds of Guernsey cows and registered, and they used to take them to shows. But anyway, in the summertime, when haying came in, he'd shut down the mills and take 30 guys and help hay because it was all loose hay and we had to rake it. Yeah, and many of those places where the plantations are, I have helped hay as a kid. Yeah, it's so hard to believe now when I go there because it, seems like yesterday. And used to rake with a hay rake, one horse sitting on the hay rake, sitting up there. And that's all, trees are right there, good-sized trees there now. That used to be a great, I can remember particularly in this area where we did a lot of planting, and where this company is starting and cutting, which was once again Ward Hill. There were a lot of wards up there, I guess, and it was all hill farms, a very long, steep hill to get up to where it was. I can remember that we used to go up there, and although the haying was pretty much done with horses, then they would send up the log trucks, and they'd put a special rack in a long body and make the rack go out about 18 feet long, and it was all pitched on hay, loose, tumbled and pitched on. And I can remember the guys, that was one of the great things they would talk about once again when they'd get to this store. And they always managed to have to stop. So at the store, when they came down, they'd bring the hay down from Ward Hill and take it up on Moortown Common. As I said, Ward Hill's up by Harwood. And they would put on these huge loads of hay. And, of course, putting on a load of hay was a real art. Keeping your corners first and then tying it in and working your way back and then your layers back and forth. It was an art, and they would be so proud when they'd put on these great, nice square loads that would go way up, and there was nothing that held them on except the fact they were tied in to each other by the way they put the bales, and they'd always go down to the store, and they'd often get there in the evening, and they would be there, and everyone was very interested in.
They'd go down to the store.
And the trucks would come down to the store and stop. And everybody would look at the loads of hay and think what a tremendous job they did loading them. And the guys would really feel good about that. That was a kind of an exciting thing.
Listen, you've done it. You've been great. I'm not going to make you go.
Well,
unless there's anything else you'd like particularly.
Unfortunately, instead of spending the day thinking about this a little, I've been very busy, and I haven't thought about it as much as I should. So I can't. I look back at my youth. I think it was pretty great. Personally. I think I just learned how to do a lot of things and, had a great, and I also was lucky in that it was a great time. Skiing came along while I was still that age so that I had learned to ski and could do all of that. So I really think that it worked out well. Of course, we were all for the ski areas. We were definitely for them. And it's true, we sold quite a lot of land too. But, you know, we were in favor of that. And my mother had quite a lot. My mother was in legislature for quite a few years and in the Senate for a few terms. And she, state senate, of course, and she had a lot to do with getting the first road, working on the AI McCullough Turnpike, which you're familiar with, I assume, so-called. So that sort of got the thing going there. I can remember how excited I was. I used to drive a log truck. At 16, I could drive a log truck. I mean, I would never let a child of mine do that now, but I can remember hauling logs out of Mad River on the, you know, on the skidways, and logging was all done with peavies and two men, and we'd load our loads of logs, and that it was quite an art too, but something we just grew up with, and how being so excited to think that before long, because we had a big log landing right where the base box is, or sort of the log landings were on the side of a hill where the logs would naturally sort of help you load them on the truck, but anyway. Thinking how exciting that was. I was going to be a ski area in a ski tow. At that time, I had gone a little bit to Stowe, and we used to go up and ski down where the lodge is, and it was the rope tow. We'd hang on to the rope tow and go up and down that. So,
well, in a sense, you had your feet in both worlds. You learned the old way, but you...
That's true. It is true. It's true, as did a lot of the people growing up there. And a lot of those people seem to be able to make a decent a good living for themselves. I say that without really knowing. But a lot of the guys that were and are in...
Stop for a second and get you to retake that because you were moving around. And
I know. So. God, the fly is...
That one fly is...
Yeah. Do we see it? Stuff. See, it really likes this thing. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I'm waving my hands. You can hear that, can't you?
It's better that than the fly. It sounds like we're on the Serengeti here.
Can you hear the fly?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds is that right?
Great, yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you can. Yeah. Well, I don't know what we're going to do about that fly. But maybe he'll go away if we wave things around here. If I saw him just right, I might be able to get him. But...
Oh, we're almost done.
Yeah, it? Okay.
Yeah, let's just...
Actually, if you just sort of... he's over here.
That's
now,
a different
so.
One. But, oh, there's the one that's down there is yeah. bothering you is down there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well...
2 seconds for. If you just sort of phrase that, you know, sort of growing up in where you were on the edge of really horse-drawn vehicles, and you've gone, you know, through the trucks and the logging and experienced it to the, and yet you're at home in the skiing culture as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the life of the valley.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the life of the valley that some of us had. So much of the valley now and the skiing part of it and everything is made up of people that maybe came from away, some other state or something, and didn't grow up with that. But I guess I was starting to say that I was fortunate in that I grew up with the horses and with the old time ways and the water power and learned a lot of those things which mean something to me today. And actually, water power once again is somewhat important. In fact, it's quite important, I guess. And then to go into the skiing and have people move in that had completely different backgrounds, and you know, they brought a whole new era, and did give us a chance, and certainly to broaden us a little and get us thinking in different ways. But I was going to say that also a lot of the people in the valley that learned either through farming, a lot of the people that are successful and have jobs and make the living that I was talking about, they learned things that today sustain them and give them, and these are the guys that can run the bulldozers and run the backhoes and have some of them very successful businesses, and they're local people. A lot of the local people that didn't have a chance to learn that have more trouble being able to live. In fact, they have a lot of trouble being able to live and work in the valley. Now, possibly they can live there and go somewhere else. But some of these basic skills turn out to be real important. I have a logger friend who's not from the valley, but down in the southern part of the state, and he has two sons who are like 11 and 13. And he told me that they said, well, he said, my boys said, you know, they can, right now, they're particularly 13-year-olds getting to be a pretty good bulldozer operator, and I'm teaching him to run the cherry picker and load logs and all. I said, boy, that is terrific, because, you know, it's funny, some of those skills are somewhat lost, or the thinking that goes into them are important. And those are guys that can get along no matter what happens. They can get along. They've had the opportunity to learn that, and they're lucky that they had that chance. But anyway, I was one of those, I guess, that had a chance to learn some of those basic things. And fortunately, the lumber business still goes on, so it's not one of those that's been replaced. So
that's a nice
Okay.
Whoops. Okay, this is room tone. That's the end of the ward room tone.